Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك يا واسع المغفرة. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge of the deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to act upon whatever it is that we learn today, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge that we learn a nur for us, a light that becomes a guidance for us throughout the rest of the week, inshallah ta'ala. And lastly, we ask Allah to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world, khususan, especially Philistine. Inshallah, Allah make it easy, inshallah ta'ala. All right, bismillah. So last week, we talked about the concept of muhasibah, or taking oneself to account, accountability for yourself. And we talked about different levels of behavioral modification from an Islamic spiritual perspective, right? We talked about that last week. And then we talked about sabr very briefly. And I told you, or patience, and I mentioned that I wasn't going to go too deep into sabr because later on in the book, the Imam, he goes into a lot of depth on that topic. And so today, actually, we're going to go into a lot more depth on the concept of sabr, or patience, inshallah. And the last thing that we covered last week, a very important concept, which is the Imam says, do not be shy if you don't know something, to ask until you know, right? To ask until you know. And so we talked about how, you know, we may have grown up Muslims, right? And for the last, you know, 22, 23 years, I've grown up as a Muslim, 25, however long, but there's stuff I don't know. But as I get older, I get more shy to ask about those things, right? And so time goes on. And it's like, why did you never ask? It's like, well, you know, as I got older, it became even harder to ask about that, right? And so it's important for us to remember this advice. He said, never be too shy. If you don't know, never be too shy to say, I don't know, and ask until you actually do know. And then he said, وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يُسْأَلْ أَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَا أَعْلَمْ. And then he said, for those of us who are put in a position of educating, right? And this happens a lot with our like non-Muslim friends, right? Sister, you rock a hijab, so you must be sheikha, right? You must be the most knowledgeable human being on the planet on Islam. And so people ask, and it's okay, I don't know. Wallahu alam, I really don't know the answer to that. I'll get back to you. And so we talked about the advice he said was, do not be shy if you're asked about something you don't know, to say, I don't know. And I mentioned briefly Imam Malik, who was the Imam of Medina. I mean, he was the most knowledgeable person almost living at that time. And someone came asking him questions from his village, a list of like 30 questions. And he asked, and each question he asked, Imam Malik said, La Adri. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Right? And so finally, at the end, the person says, what am I supposed to say? I have to go back to my village. And they sent me to come and ask you all these, what am I going to say? He says, tell them that the Imam Malik himself said, I don't know. And he was taking that as a lesson, like, it's okay, no matter what position people place you at, know your position and be able to say, I don't know. All right, so that was just a review of what we went over. This is way too loud for me. No? It's a bit loud, right? I put it as low as possible, man. If any lower, be on the floor. All right, if you guys can't hear me, let me know. I'm just going to back this up a little bit. Okay. All right. So he says, this is today's lesson. This is new. We never covered this before. Bismillah. قال المحاسبي رحمه الله تعالى. Imam Muhasibi, he says, اعلم. He says, no. أن الصبر من الإيمان بمنزلة الرأس من الجسد. فَإِذَا قُتِيَ الرَّأْسُ ذَهَبَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. He says, no, and understand that sabr, sabr, min al-iman, in relation to your faith, the concept of sabr. Now, remember, last week or the week before, when we talked about sabr, we mentioned three types of sabr. Can someone tell me the three types of sabr really briefly? Sabr against afflictions, okay? Sabr to do unrighteous deeds, and the last one, sabr from sins. And I'm going to actually share some notes with you from Imam Ghazali's Ihya, because Imam Ghazali, he actually breaks the concept of sabr down slightly different, and I want to share that with you, inshallah ta'ala. Imam Ghazali, I want you to take really good notes on this if you can, or listen closely, because Imam Ghazali, man, Imam Ghazali is amazing, mashallah. And so whenever you get a chance to study anything from Imam Ghazali, just hold on tight to it, because it's definitely beautiful to benefit. Imam Ghazali says this, we're talking about what's the concept? Sabr. We're talking about a concept called sabr. Imam Ghazali, he says, look, everything that you will encounter in this world, no matter what it is in life, everything that you will encounter will be one of two things. He says, either it will be something that goes with you. He says, يُوَافِقُ هَوَاهُ. It goes with your desires. You like it. It feels good. It goes with you. Like you enjoy it, right? He says, that's the first type. Anything that comes to you, you like it. You got a raise. You got this. You got married. You got whatever it may be. Things that come to you that you like. وَالْآخَرْ يُكْرَهُ. And he says, the second category is things that you dislike. You didn't like that. Someone cut you off on the road. You didn't like that. You got a grade you didn't expect. Whatever it may be. Someone's hating on you. All types of things that you don't like. So he says, everything coming to you is going to be one of these two categories. And then he says, here's the key. Sabr, this quality of sabr that we use so much, that we're going to loosely translate as patience for now, sabr is necessary in both of these categories. Very important thing to understand. In the category of things that go with you, you enjoy them. And in the category of things that go against you, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, sabr is also necessary there. Let's look into the first category, because for many of us, we're like, wait, that word sabr and things that I like, it doesn't seem to make sense to me. How does that match up? So listen to what Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says. He says, as for the first category, health, wealth, fame, large family, he says, atba, followers. Subhanallah, Imam Ghazali knew later in life, people would be still wanting followers. Nothing's changed. He says, atba, like people following you. At that time, it was different, but still, this concept is still there. Human nature hasn't changed. We love followers. We love followers. The only difference now with followers is at that time, I mean, only a few people could be in the limelight. But now we have it in a way where everyone's in their own limelight. You feel me? Like everyone has a stage to perform on. Everyone, even if you're liking your own post, it doesn't matter. Even if you're liking someone else because you know she'll reciprocate. If you like, she gonna like you back. Cool, it's all good, right? Subhanallah. So even Ghazali understood the human nature. He said, so you have wealth, you have fame, you have a large family, you have followers. He says, جميع الملذات الدنيا, all of these things, that you enjoy. He says, "Wal abdu muhtaj ila sabr fi hadhihi al-umur." You have to learn to have what we're going to call patience or sabr in this category. All of these good things. What? How? How do we define it? Now, here's sabr in this category. He says, number one, "Fala yarkun ilayha." You don't incline to it. What that means is you have it, but it doesn't have you. Let me say that again. I don't know if you feel me on that. You feel me? Yes, you have it. It doesn't have you. You have the job. You have the money. You have the house. You have the car. You have the followers. They don't have you. There's a big difference between the two. Does that make sense? Let me give an easy example. One of the scholars, I don't remember where I read this at. One of the scholars, they said, the dunya and all of the goodness is like an ocean. And your heart is, you've probably heard me say this before, your heart is like a boat. As long as the boat is on top of the water, you'll get to where you got to go to, Allah, Akhirah. But once the water gets in the boat, once the water gets in the boat, you're done. Boat sinks. It's over. So he says the first thing you have to do with all of these good things coming to you is la yarkan ilayha. You don't incline towards them, meaning they don't have you. And then he says, وَلَا يَبْطَرُ بِهَا. You don't become arrogant because of them. A lot of times that happens, man. You start looking good, drip is heavy. All of a sudden your walk is a little different. You walk different, seriously, right? And then he says, the third thing you have to do, the sabr that you have to do is وَلَا يَنْحَمِكْ فِي التَّلَذُّذِ. You don't just engross yourself in taladud. So taladud means just pleasure. So you don't become a person who is just engrossed in, I just want to enjoy more. I just want to enjoy more. I just want to enjoy more. And then last thing he says is you take into accountability the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of God in all of those things that he gave you. So if it's wealth, well, you know there's a right of God in that wealth Allah gave you. If it's health, well, there's a right of God in that health that he gave you as well. All of those things, you're recognizing the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is how we define sabr on all of the good things that God has given you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Now, he said something really interesting. He says, if you don't control yourself from just becoming a person obsessed with pleasure, he says that this will lead to an arrogance and a rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like if you become a person that's just obsessed with square footage, man, or the next whip, whatever it may be, you're just obsessed. That's it. He says that will often lead you to what's called batr, which is a rejection of God and just turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said these words, Imam Ghazali, he says, and I think you'll appreciate this. He says, قَالَ بَعْضُ الْعَارِفِينَ. Some of the scholars, they used to say, الْبَلَاءُ يَسْبِرُ عَلَيْهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The believer, the average, you know, Fatima and Muhammad, the average Muslim, يَسْبِرُ عَلَى الْبَلَاءُ, has patience on hardships. وَلَا يَسْبِرْ عَلَى الْعَافِيَ إِلَّا الصِّدِّيقِ. But only the people of Siddiq means like a high level of truthfulness. You know, like Abu Bakr, what do we call him? Abu Bakr, a Siddiq. That was his nickname because his level of truthfulness. So Imam Ghazali says, when it comes to the ease of life, only people at that elevated level of Iman can have patience then. And then that's why now we can understand the verses of the Quran where Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. All of those good things are fitna as well. So the second category is a no'ithani. So the first one was things that we enjoy. And now that's why I said, like, when you talk about patience, now we completely are looking at patience from a completely different perspective. It's now patience means, sabr means something so much broader than just holding back. Number two, the second area. Remember we said all of the things we'll encounter will be one of two things. What was the first category? Things that I enjoy or comfort. I like them. Oh, I don't know what happened to the sister. Is she still on thing? Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. Okay. She's back. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Okay, the second category are things that we don't enjoy, things that we don't enjoy. So we're going to actually break this down into two categories as well. All right, we're going to things we don't enjoy. The first category of things we don't enjoy, I don't want to say don't enjoy, but let's translate it that way for now. Things that are in our volition. How about that? That's a better translation. Things that are in our volition. We have some control over them. He says, these are going to be all of the acts of obedience and all of the acts of disobedience that a person can do. So let's back up a bit. Maybe I got confused on you, okay? So what did Imam Ghazali, he started off, he's like, look, we're gonna talk about sabr, and the way I'm gonna break this down to you is say this. Every single thing that you experience in life is gonna be one of two things. Either you enjoy it or you don't enjoy it. It goes with you or it goes against you. The ones that go with you, we just talked about that. The second category now, we're only focused on the second category. Those are things that go against you. I don't enjoy them. Now, in that category, he further broke it down into two things. All right, you with me? Everyone got their trees nice and, okay, cool. All right, cool. The second category is things that you don't like. Now, amongst the things you don't like, there are some things that are within your volition. Like you had control to do them or not to do them. They're in your volition. You control something. And the second category are things that are not in your volition whatsoever. You had no control over them. Now we understand. That third one out of your volition, those are musibas. Those are calamities. Those are the hardships. That's, you know, an accident, na'udhu billah, right? That's whatever it may be, a family member becoming ill. Those are masa'ib, right? Back to the other one now, the things in our volition, we have acts of obedience. So the first thing, acts of obedience, the concept of sabr for this is about forcing yourself to actually do the action. Do the action and correct the intention while the action is being done. Let me say that again. Imam Ghazali says, when it comes to good acts of obedience, there are three times that you need to practice sabr. Three times. Everyone's like, yo, this is heavy, yo. Y'all with me, man? All right, three times. Number one is before you start the action. Number one, the time of sabr. He says, this is the time where you really got to fix your intention. And that's no joke. Just yesterday, I think Ustad was talking about showing off. Ustad Abdurrahman, he was talking about showing off yesterday. And this is the point, right at the beginning of the action is where you check Riya and showing off while you're doing the action. Another time for sabr is while you're doing the action. What does that mean? That means while I'm actually doing the action, I have to make sure, Imam Ghazali says this, he says, while you're doing the action, your nafs will want to get out of the action, ilal farag, to just do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You ever, like you were doing nothing, and all of a sudden when you started to pray, you got all rushy. But when you were done, you literally had nothing to do after. It was just while you were praying, all of a sudden there was this need to rush through it. Imam Ghazali's like, that's where you need to have patience, right there. You have to remind yourself, no, there's nowhere to be. This is where I should be right now. There's nothing, I'm just gonna scroll after this prayer is done, that's it. There's nothing. So, and then he says at the end of the action, and he says the sabr at the end of the action is that you don't share the action. You keep it quiet, you keep it low key. You don't ruin the action by letting everyone know the action that you did, all right? The second category now, we move over. We're talking about the sabr on the sins. Sabr from the ma'asi. Imam Ghazali, he basically says that the way you have to be careful about this one, because Imam Ghazali says sabr is something that is uniquely a quality of human beings. The angels don't have sabr and the animals don't have the concept of sabr. Only human beings, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Bani Adam. And why is that? The angels don't have the inclination towards something that they desire. So there's no need to fight their nafs. And the animals don't have that accountability that they're supposed to do something, right? But the human being and the jinn, we are the only ones that have this elevated maqam because there's these forces within us that we're actually fighting. And so that's where we come back to this, what Imam Muhasibi says. I'm going to now come back to Imam Muhasibi. Imam Muhasibi, he says that, اعلم أن الصبر من الإيمان. He says you have to understand that sabr in relation to your faith is like the head in relation to the rest of the body. And so all he's communicating here is that for us to be sound believers and strong believers, we really have to take this concept of sabr. Now, this it's a really nuanced concept. Now we've talked about it in detail and we understand what sabr means. It's not just about patience. So a bit more on sabr before we go forward, inshallah. Imam Ghazali, he shares some of the etiquettes of sabr. This is very beautiful. He says the first etiquette, what he means by etiquette, he's actually like teaching you how to practice sabr. And he's specifically mentioning about the one that is a calamity. Someone passes away, an accident, job loss, whatever it may be. Sabr in that one. So listen to this one. Some of the etiquettes of sabr, patience. He says, number one, وَمِنْ عَدَابِ الصَّبْرِ اسْتِعْمَالُهُ فِي أَوَّلِ الصَّدَمَةِ. Okay. He says, one of the adab of sabr is to apply sabr at the first hit of the calamity. Now, this is actually based on a hadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this one hadith, it's a beautiful narration in which there was a woman, the hadith tells us that there was this woman, مَرَّ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِإِمْرَأَةٍ تَبَكِي عِنْدَ الْقَبْرِ. There was a woman, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked past and she's near a grave of someone who had just passed away and she's weeping there. She's weeping by the grave. And she doesn't know what's going on. You're in this state, you just lost someone, the pain is heavy. She doesn't realize the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walks behind her. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, ittaqillah wasbiri. He says to her, you know, fear God, have some patience, inshallah. Have patience. So she says, I mean, subhanAllah, she's just a regular person. فَقَالَتْ إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي. She's like, man, get out of here. Guys, she doesn't know who's that is behind her, right? But she's just, it's just normal, right? You know, someone tells you sabr at a tough time, it's just like, yo, get out of my face, bro. Like your brother or sister, sometimes they'll tell you to be patient, right? When they know it's difficult. You know what I mean? Your brother ever do that to you? Like, yo, be patient, bro. Get out of my face, man. You know, so at that time, the Prophet ﷺ is saying to her, be patient, ittaqila wasbiri. And she doesn't know who it is. So she responds very harshly, right? Ilayka anni. Fa innaka lam tusib bi musibati. You don't know what I'm going through. Now, the beauty and the emotional intelligence of the Prophet ﷺ is he kept going. He didn't stop. He just kept walking. Okay, cool. Do you know who I am? You got to listen to me. No, the Prophet just kept walking. As soon as he left, someone goes, you know who that was, right? SubhanAllah. So she gets up. She runs straight to the Prophet ﷺ's house. She knocks at the door. She goes, I didn't know it was you. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ says these amazing words. He says, "Inna sabr, inna masabr, inda sadamatil ula." Very important hadith, and I want us to look at it from a few perspectives. He said, "Indeed, patience is at the first hit." Now, what does he mean here? Is he telling her, "Oh, you're apologizing now. You should have been patient at that time"? No, by no means. He's telling her the same lesson he was going to say to her earlier. And what he's saying to her is, look, if you can get through the first moment of that calamity, it just gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. Seriously, it just, the first hit, you know, subhanAllah, maybe you've lost a loved one. I don't know if you guys, I don't want to, you know, bring back bad memories or whatever, but the first day you lose a loved one, you feel like I can't live no more. I won't even be able to concentrate. For this is too much. But every day it gets lighter, it gets lighter, it gets lighter, it gets lighter. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, look, because here's the deal. When we see sabr as something I have to do for a very long time, like if you're running a marathon, right? I can ask someone who runs long, you know, like you don't look all the way at the end. It's like the next step. I just got to get through the next step. Sometimes you just put it like somewhere like right there. I just got to get to that sign. Now, you know, I'm gonna run past that sign, but mentally you say to yourself, I only got to get to that sign. because I can, if it's a short distance, I can be patient. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, and that's something we should do. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, whenever you're hit with a very difficult calamity, just understand that from this moment, it's the hardest it's going to get. Guaranteed it'll get lighter. Just be patient right now and I'll get through this thing. So Rasul ﷺ, he says, As-sabr inda sadamatil ula. As-sabr inda sadamatil ula. There's another hadith that I like to narrate with this one, where the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبِّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever fakes patience, Allah will give them patience. Whoever fakes patience, Allah will give them patience, inshallah ta'ala. So what was the first adab or etiquette of patience is that you apply your patience right at the first hit, the first moment, right at that moment, it'll get lighter. Number two, وَمِنْ adab فِي الْمَصَائِبِ. And one of the other etiquettes, the second etiquette, is istirja. This is a beautiful thing that all of us as Muslims have been taught since we've been young. We've heard it, but let's think about it on a deeper level. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us, whenever a calamity hits us, what do we say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What does this translate to? Inna lillah. Indeed, we belong to God. We belong to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And indeed, we are turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he says, one of the etiquettes is to practice this statement whenever the calamity hits. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, here's a hadith, مَا مِنْ مُسْلِمْ تُصِيبُهُ مُصِيبَةً. No believer is afflicted with any calamity, except that when they say, Inna lillah, indeed we are from God and we return back to God. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me in my calamity and give me something better, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person something better than that thing. Right? And so that's the second adab of sabr. The third and fourth etiquettes of patience at the time of a calamity. وَمِنْ adab فِي الْمُصِيبَةِ سُكُونَ الْجَوَارِحِ وَسُكُوتِ الْلِسَانِ. Calmness of the limbs, calming the body down, learning how to bring the body, calm the body down, deep breathing sometimes from the gut, like learning how to calm the limbs down, calm the heart rate down, slow down, and سُكُوتِ الْلِسَانِ. Number four, hold the tongue. Calm the limbs and hold the tongue. And of course, crying is something we can't control, as the Prophet ﷺ, he clearly stated in the hadith at the death of his grandson, the heart hurts, the eyes cry, but we won't say anything that displeases God. So the things in our control are what we are able to control. The tongue, we control that. Okay? All right. And so these are some, these are the four etiquettes mentioned by Imam Ghazali. One last thing that I thought was very beautiful that Imam Ghazali shares, he mentions a beautiful aspect of sabr. So this is separate from etiquettes, and this is just what he calls husn sabr, like beautiful sabrun jamil. You know, like in the Quran with the story of Yaqub and the loss of his sons, when he says for sabrun jamil, what is a beautiful type of patience? Imam Ghazali says a beautiful patience is this. He says, أَلَّا يَظْهَرْ أَثَرَ الْمُصِيبَ عَلَى الْمُصَابِ. This is somewhat difficult, but let's talk about it. He says that you don't let the effect of the calamity show on you. You don't let the effect of the calamity show on you. Now, I was hesitant to share this because I don't want us to misconstrue and misunderstand this, because the Prophet himself cried. The Prophet ﷺ himself cried. Is that showing the effect of the calamity? Yes or no? For sure, 100%. His grandson, his son passed away, and he cried. That is actually literally showing the effect of it. But what they're talking about now is, I'm going to share an example for you. Thabit al-Bunani, and this is an example from the Salaf that Imam Ghazali narrates. He says, Mata Abdullah bin Mutarrif. Abdullah bin Mutarrif passed away. And his father, Mutarrif,
He went out at later that day, at same day his son passed away. He went out later that day and he had on like his best thobe on. And he had his best itr on and his face was oiled and he looked like it was Eid. He looked good, right? Wadahana, he oiled up, you know, Vaselined up. Wadahana faghadibu. When everyone saw him, they're like, what's wrong with you? Like your son passed away and you look as if it's like wedding night or something. Like this isn't right. You should be, you know, showing sadness. And he said to them, he said, وَقَالُوا يَمُوتُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَخْرُجُ فِي ثِيَابِ مِثْلِ هَذَا. Your son dies and you come out like this. Now listen to what he says. He says, like, what are you saying to me? I'm okay because وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَى ثَلَاثَ خِصَالٍ. My Lord has promised me three things. Now this is where our iman comes in though. Because now he's able to see things through the light of the Quran. And he's like, no, I am not looking at this the way you look at it. I am looking at this completely different. He says, my Lord has promised me three things. And he recites this verse. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who when a calamity afflicts them, they say, we belong to Allah and to Allah we return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Upon them, those people are the blessings of God, the mercy of God. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And those are the people that are guided. Mercy, blessings, and guidance for those who when a calamity afflicts them, they say, I belong to Allah and to Allah I return. Now, why am I mentioning that? I'm mentioning that because when the calamity hit, he had a completely different reaction. I'm okay, I'm good. I see the khair in this moment and I'm able to recognize and see that khair. I don't want us to mitigate though, when a calamity hits you, it's okay to feel that pain. It's okay, that's the point of the calamity, is to feel that and use that as a means to get back closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Khair, I think that's enough on sabr inshaAllah ta'ala. So let's come back to the book. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الصَّبْرِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. I'm just repeating what we started from. He said, know that patience in relation to faith is like the head in relation to the body. If you cut off the head, the entire body dies. Similarly, if you don't have patience in your life, then faith is going to be very, very difficult to hold on to. فَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ. Here we go. Now Imam Muhasibi is giving us practical application of sabr. He says, when you hear kalimatan tughdhibuka fi irdik, when you hear a word that makes you angry regarding your honor. The honor of a Muslim is something very sacred. So to speak ill about someone, to ruin their reputation, to make them feel bad amongst other people, that's something the Prophet was very serious about. He said, your honor, a Muslim's honor, their honor is like their blood, it's sacred. And he said that on Hajjat al-Wida. So the narration is, the statement here is, إِذَا سَمِعْتَ كَلِمَةً, when you hear a statement that angers you regarding your honor, فَعْفُ وَاسْفَحْ. Allahu Akbar. He says, overlook and disregard. وَاسْفَحْ. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, that is amongst the actions that take resolve. قَالَ عُمَرْ بْنِ خَطَّابِ. Alhamdulillah, Umar ibn Khattab, he says, مَنْ خَافَ اللَّهِ. Whoever fears God, لَمْ يَشْفِي غَيْضَ. They never ever, how do you say يَشْفِي غَيْضَ? They never ever like satisfy their anger. Let me say this again and I'll explain it. مَنْ خَافَ اللَّهِ. مَنْ خَافَ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَشْفِي غَيْضَ. Whoever fears God, they never satiate their anger. What do you mean? The one who fears Allah, they have trouble letting all their anger out because of their cognizance of God. Let me share something with y'all. I'm not like claiming nothing, but I'm like a bad, mean father. I can't be like an angry father. You know what I mean? Like it's impossible, right? Because whenever I say, like, y'all see, I got toddlers, right? So toddlers, by their nature, do what they're not supposed to do. They literally do what you tell them not to do. So whenever I say, like, didn't I tell you not to do that? This is weird. Maybe it's imam problems. But I think about God saying that to me. It's weird. I'm like, what if God said to me, didn't I tell you, Mikael, not to do that? And I'm like, all right, Qasim, go ahead, man. You good. And maybe he knows God's, you know, dad's about to get all pious for a moment. He'll let us go. You know what I mean? I don't know why, but it's just like you, that moment where I'm like, didn't I tell you not to? Dang, man. You know what I mean? SubhanAllah. So وَمَنْ خَافَ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَشْفِي غَيْضَ. When a person that truly fears God, they don't let that anger out because of that fear of God. It checks them. And that's why, man, when you're looking for a spouse, man, you got to look for someone God-fearing. Looks, money, man, yo, for the birds, man, that all goes. Fear of God is what keeps a person, like, keeps them honoring you. Whether they're at their most angry moment, they fear God. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel me? Always look for that. وَمَنْ خَافَ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَشْفِي غَيْضَ. This is Umar ibn Khattab's statement. Whoever fears God never ever satisfies their anger. And this is another way I look at it. When you have the fear of God, you better get used to swallowing anger. When you have fear of Allah, you better just get used to it. Learn to swallow anger. That's why I love toddlers. Like, this is literally like a lesson in, like, it's life skills, yo. Life skills, yo. I'm not trying to dissuade you guys from having children. I'm just saying. وَمَنْ اتَّقَاهُ. Look at what Imam Ghazali, Umar ibn Khattab says next. وَمَنْ اتَّقَاهُ لَمْ يَسْنَعْ مَا يُرِيدْ. Another thing. He says, whoever fears is conscious of God, لَمْ يَسْنَعْ مَا يُرِيدْ. They don't do whatever they like. They don't do whatever they like. وَلَوْلَا. This is my favorite, one of my favorite statements of Umar ibn Khattab. He says, وَلَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَكَانَ غَيْرُ مَا تَرَوْنَ. If it wasn't for Qiyamah, things would be a lot different than the way you see. I lived a different life for like 18 years. لَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَكَانَ غَيْرَ مَا تَرَوْنَ. All of us in this room, لَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, right? You know what I mean? Like, لَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَكَانَ غَيْرَ مَا تَرَوْنَ. If it wasn't for the day of judgment, everything would be different. Dude, he thinks you a chump because you don't retaliate. لَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَكَانَ غَيْرُ مَا تَرَوْنَ. If it wasn't for Qiyamah, you'll see what this could do, yo. Watch. It's just يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that's it. Yo, you don't like to have fun. You don't like to go out. لَوْلَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَكَانَ غَيْرُ مَا تَرَوْنَ. I have the capacity to be someone who parties, but nah, Qiyamah. What I'm trying to say is, like, it's only Qiyamah that's holding us back. And so what that taught me, the reason I love this statement, is sometimes the only thing I need to check myself is like, Mikael, Yom Al Qiyamah. Okay, yep, all right, got it. You feel me? That's it, just one statement. Yom Al Qiyamah. Okay, cool. That's it. You know, someone's saying something, Yom Al Qiyamah. Something looks amazing, Yom Al Qiyamah. Acting on the orders of Allah, difficult, يوم القيامة. لولا يوم القيامة لكان غير ما ترون. And it just shows me that Umar ibn Khattab is recognizing the nature inside too. SubhanAllah. ولولا يوم القيامة لكان غير ما ترون. If it wasn't for the day of judgment, things would be other than what you see. طيب. So that's the end of the statement of Umar ibn Khattab. Let's continue. What time is it? Okay, good. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Okay. Tayyib. Wara'i' hammaka. Remember, Imam, by the way, remember how this book works? The Imam, he gives these very brief statements of advice. And what we're doing is we're like understanding those individual statements. So his next statement, remember, it won't necessarily be connected to the previous. He says, "Ra'i' hammaka." The word ri'a, it comes from like كلكم راء وكلكم مسؤول الرعية. It means like to be a shepherd, to be responsible for something. So he says, وَرَاعِ هَمَّكَ. Be responsible, be aware of your hum. What is hum? Hum are the things you worry about. Hum are the things you let your heart like focus on. وَرَاعِ. This goes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago about controlling the thoughts. Be careful what you let your mind graze upon. وَرَاعِ هَمَّكَ. وَاشْتَغِلْ بِإِصْلَاحِ نَفْسِكَ عَنْ عَيْبِ غَيْرِكَ. Beautiful advice for our time. Busy yourself, preoccupy yourself with bettering your state عَنْ عَيْبِ غَيْرِكَ, other than the faults of other people. This is a major problem, man. And I don't see a solution with the way social media is. But everyone and their mama needs wants to be Munkar, one hand in Munkar and Amr bin Maruf police, halal, haram police. Like everyone has this responsibility to correct every single person that they see on social media across the world. Like that's your job. All you do is come in the comment section like, sister, I think you should. That's all you do in life. The way of the awliya was not that they didn't correct wrongs, but they were so focused on themselves that they literally did not have the capacity to focus on everybody else's wrongs. It's like, and that's what he says here. He says, washtaghil, like busy yourself with rectifying yourself. An aybi ghayrika. The word an here means it like preoccupies you from, like, I ain't even got time. Yo, bro, did you see what such and such was doing online? I'm sorry, I was kind of trying to work on myself here. I literally did not have time for that. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يُقَالُ. It used to be said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ عَيْبًا. It is enough for a person. It is enough of a sin or a fault for a person أَنْ يَسْتَبِينَ لَهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. It is enough of a sin. It is enough of a fault that you can see, you are blinded from the same things that you see in other people. It is enough of a fault that you are blinded. You don't see it when you do it. We have this natural tendency, and it's even biologically and neurologically proven, we have this natural tendency not to like our own like bad things. Things from us we enjoy. There's nothing wrong with them. Like I'm okay with them, right? I gave the example when you have an infant, right? The mother and sometimes the father can easily change that diaper, but other people not related to that baby, that smell, obviously it's a bad smell. It'll make them want to like puke, right? It's very upsetting for them. But the mother's just like, grub is cooking and stuff. She like, yeah, I'm hungry. Pass me the plate. You're like, oh, dang. You just threw my stomach off, man, right? But why? There's been studies that show, no, there's stuff connecting the mother and the baby here that makes her able to do that. So similarly, there's this thing where we see faults of our own and we rationalize them. Right away, there's 1,000 reasons why I did this. But the moment I see you do this, no, there's no way. There's no acceptability for that in Islam. That's haram, don't you know? Oh, but you just, yeah, but you don't know my situation. What? Come on, man. So it's very, this beautiful advice. The advice for us is, and that's what Imam Ghazali says. Imam Ghazali says, you know, this concept in spiritual development, do you need a sheikh or not? Do you need someone to like guide you? Imam Ghazali's like, no, you don't need a sheikh. One of the methods you can use is whatever faults you see in people, assume it in yourself and work on it within you. Let me say that one more time. Whatever faults you see, the first thing actually I beg for, I ask Allah, oh Allah, make me someone who doesn't see faults. Make me someone who literally doesn't see them. Literally, I just didn't notice it. But if you are someone who sees faults, then use those faults, assume them in yourself. The moment you see them, assume them within yourself and now work to rectify them within yourself. That's it. It's like Jesus, he's like, throw the first stone, whoever, you know, right? Like the one with no sin, throw the first stone. Everyone's like, all right, let me go. I'm out. Focus on yourself. So it's enough of a sin that you are blinded. A person cannot see the things of their own faults the things that are very clear to them on other people. أو يمقت الناس فيما يأتي مثله. And it is enough of a sin for a person to despise people for what they themselves do. Same exact concept. You do the exact same thing, but all of a sudden when they do it, oh, now it's such a horrible thing. أو يؤذي جليسا, or someone that harms their neighbor that they sit next to. أو يقول في الناس ما لا يعنيه, or that you say amongst people that which doesn't concern you. This is a major, a beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it was Imam Nawawi, he was asked, if there were only four hadith that a person must know, like, it, you know, there's like thousands of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So he was asked, if there was only four hadith that you needed to know, and someone needed to know, what would those four be? One of those, he said, min husni islam in mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Let me translate. A beautiful thing of a person's faith, a beautiful part of a Muslim's faith, is to leave things that don't concern them. Just to leave them. Doesn't concern me, leave it. Has nothing to do with me. Min husni islam in mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. A beautiful part of your deen is your ability to leave stuff that don't concern you. Not be on the porch like some of us, really nosy. We got to know, sip all the tea. We got to have all the tea. If it don't concern you, leave it. You won't be questioned for that tea right there. You will be questioned for your desire to sip on that tea and know everything going on. Allah make it easy for us. Okay, how long has it been? Okay, it's only been 48. Okay, so there's one more thing I'm going to introduce. We'll go into it in more detail in our next session. Okay. So Imam Muhasibi, he says next, وَاسْتَعْمِلْ لِلَّهِ عَقَلَكَ بِتَرْكِ التَّدْبِيرِ. That's a beautiful statement. He says, use your intellect for the sake of God by giving up planning. Haytham's like, what? Break that down for me. Okay, so let's go into this. In Arabic, there's a name of God, Mudabbir, right? Mudabbir samawati wal al. Mudabbir dabbara yudabbiru means to put things in order, arrange things, right? To organize and arrange things, okay? Like a project manager, right? Hey, arrange things. That's a mudabbir. They put things in order, okay? Tadbir are plans. Your plans are your tadbir, what you've organized, all of these things, right? You're going on a vacation. You've already planned it all out. Tadbir. Now, one of the things that we learn in higher levels of Islamic spirituality is the concept of, here we go, tark at-tadbir, leaving planning. Now, I don't plan anyway, so I love teaching this, right? I love it. We're going on vacation. My wife's like, let's plan it out. I'm like, let's just go. She's like, no, let's plan the whole thing. I was like, no, let's just go. Let's just, right? Thank you, man. You're man there. Okay. Yeah, just go. We'll figure it out when we get there. I've learned my lesson, though, from figuring out where we get there. I can't tell you guys how many times I've gone to a store to buy something, and I didn't check on Google if it was open and it was closed. And my wife is like, check if it's open. I'm like, no, it's open. I get there. It's like, she's like, what happened? I was like, it was closed. So let me talk about tark at-tadbir. Okay. We all know the Prophet said, tie your camel, right? Right? The Prophet said, tie your camel. So we know in our deen, everyone in this room should know that we are ordered to take the means to an end. Like, no one in this room should think that in our Islam, there's a part where we just literally take no means, we do stuff, right? No, of course. Part of you being a responsible Muslim is that you tie your camel, you take your means. All right. But what is the theological or the faith, like, negative aspect of that? The negative aspect of that is sometimes you start to rely upon your plans. You start to rely upon your plans. Now, reliance is only upon Allah. Literally, reliance is only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he says, Ibn Atta'illah al-Askandari, the one who wrote Al-Hikam, he wrote another book. The name of the book, At-Tanweer fi Tark al-Tadbir. At-Tanweer fi Tark al-Tadbir. He wrote an entire book on stop planning.
Amazing, right? Maybe we can study it one day together, inshallah.
But what he basically says is, and I want to translate this differently. What is the translation in the book for this one? Does anyone have the English? I saw you have the English. Did you find where we're at? What is it? How does he translate it? Beautiful. Imam Zayd Shakir, he translated it. He said, use your intellect for God by not being obsessed with your plans. Now, that's a very nice middle ground, because it brings us to this point where I plan, but at the end of the day, I have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. But what I find interesting is the verbiage he uses. We use our aql or intellect to plan. And he says, use your intellect by leaving the plan. And this tells me, like, my intellect, I need to have part of my understanding that Allah is in control. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like, part of my intellectual thought in the equations is always, MashaAllah ukan wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. Whatever Allah wills will happen. What He doesn't will not happen. Okay, so استعمل لله أقلك. Use your intellect for God. How? بترك التدبير. Leave out planning. And again, I just want to say it again. This doesn't mean don't plan. What it means is you make a plan, but you completely say, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Imam Ali radiallahu an, he used to say, I know my God, بنقل الأزائم, because He always breaks my plans. I know God exists because whenever I plan, He breaks my plans. So the idea here is to be someone who can, and just to use the verbiage that Christians often use, let go and let God. Yeah, that's what it is. There's a point where you have to just learn to let go. And some of us, we let go too much, we never plan. But others, we plan too much. And then we depend on our plans and we go, if it doesn't go according to my plan, I'm distraught, my heart is hurt, I'm confused, what's going on? No. Leave your plans. Make your plans, but let them go. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, ma sha Allah kan, wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful advice, inshallah. And I will start checking closing dates, closing times before I go to places, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, inshallah. Any questions on the things we covered, inshallah ta'ala? I want to do a little more depth into the tadbir aspect. We'll do that a little bit next week when we review what we covered this week. So before we end, let's just look at what we covered. We talked about sabr, and we actually went way deeper in sabr. We tried to understand the etiquettes of sabr, what is good patience, why are there different types of sabr? We talked about that. And then we talked about Umar ibn Khattab's understanding that if it wasn't for Qiyamah, if it wasn't for fear of God, and if it wasn't for awareness of God, things would be so different. The way I am today, the way I strive to be today is because of Qiyamah. And I said that that's a practical tool you can use for yourself. Like, that Qiyamah thing is what's checking me. That's the thing I got to keep in my mind. Qiyamah. That's what checks my actions. So he said, if it wasn't for Qiyamah, things would be different. And then we focused on ourselves. We said, look, don't let yourself be a person who is so absorbed in other people that you forget yourself. Nasallaha fansahum anfusahum. They forgot God, so He made them forget themselves. We should be people who are primarily focused on myself. How do I rectify my own heart? And when I do see faults in other people, the moment I see that fault, I'm like, yo, Mikael, check yourself. That and fix that thing within yourself, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. Any questions? Bismillah. Someone online said, subhanAllah, like, tark al-tadbir is an anecdote for perfectionism. Like, a lot of us are obsessed. It has to be perfect. Life really sucks if that happens to you. Because nothing's perfect. So you're setting yourself up to be upset quite often. And it's the balance, right? That's what we're looking for, is the balance. Islam gives us that balance, because the Prophet's like, tie your camel, but hey, let go. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's make a dua, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept whatever I've learned today and make it a means for our spiritual and behavioral rectification, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to make us people who are ever cognizant of you, Ya Allah. We ask you to make us people who are constantly remembering that the day of judgment is true and that we will be resurrected and stand before you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to make us people of patience. We ask you for peace and ease, but we also ask you, when calamities do befall, we ask you to give us and make us people who are patient, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and around the world, Ya Allah. We ask you to give them strength and sabr during these hard times, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to make it easy on those of our family members who are sick, Ya Allah. Give them shifa, kamil, ajid, mustamira, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, whatever we have learned, Ya Allah, today, Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the ability to act upon that, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just a reminder, you guys know, Qalam, alhamdulillah, we found a new campus in Carrollton. And so we really need your support and your help, inshallah. So qalamcampus.com, check it out, inshallah. Spread it, let other people know about it, inshallah ta'ala, so we can make that a reality, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik.